It's got the criteria for punk, musical motivation, and persistence in the face of obsolescence.
Do you consider the Ramones the number one punk band of all time?
I don't know if that is more to do with they're my favorite band of all
time. Do you think that it's because they're your favorite, or do you believe that they are the most responsible for everything?
I think that they're very, very influential. I think that they're, you can't overstate their influence on everything.
Because sometimes if you look up, if you actually look up punk rock, me and Eric looked up punk rock in the dictionary one day, mm-hmm. and it actually says a type of music that came from England in the late 70s. It says that.
Well, that's the debate on what punk is, and I don't really know. I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
so there's a debate.
Well, I mean, if you say it came from England, then you're talking about the Sex Pistols and the Clash, and they ripped off the Ramones.
Right. I know that. I saw the documentary. Right.
So that's the question. I mean, it's like, what do you consider punk rock? Does it have to be like Mohawks and, you know, like nose rings?
Is it culture or is it music? Right.
But I think that like the Ramones were to me, they were more punk rock than anything because they were real. They weren't like, you know, like basically Malcolm McLaren like had like a sex shop and he had like an idea. It was sort of like a concept and they were a great band.
But Malcolm
too.
McLaren did manage the Dolls. Isn't that right? He managed the Dolls who influenced the Ramones. So he like is.
Yeah, I'm just saying like, again, see, then you can go back to what's proto punk and what, like the Stooges.
Right.
MC5 and all that. And I don't really know. I mean, like,
because you read that book, right? You read that book that was by the dude and the chick.
The one Jesse had?
No. It's this book. It's this book.
Uh-huh.
All it is quotes.
Uh-huh.
It's just quotes. There's no actual, like text. It's just quotes. It's just quotes from, like,
quotes
Iggy Pop, Lou Reed, Johnny Ramone, Johnny Rotten, you know, Ray Manzarek, blah, 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 blah. It's just quotes. It's called, like,
yeah,
it's by Legs McNeil or whatever. It's by that guy. Something Legs.
That sounds familiar.
The guy who was the roadie.
The Please Kill
that
Me.
That guy.
Was it called?
Who was in the documentary. The horse with the horse face. And he's in the documentary smoking cigarettes and telling those stories.
Yeah. I'm just drawing.
Legs McNeil.
Yeah, I know who. I know. Yeah, you gotta get Nick in here. He knows all this shit. I'm less interested in, like, I mean, I don't really know enough about it to say something. I mean, who am I to say what's punk rock and what's not? You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's like, what punk rock means to me is, like, you're a fucking weirdo and you take everything shitty and make it cool.
Punk rock literally is heavy metal written in the major scale.
Okay. I suppose some people could see it that way. I don't know. The debate is just...
You know what I mean? Because that's like how the Ramones started, was like they're writing riffs in the major scale.
Well, they were trying to be the Beach Boys.
They weren't writing shit in minor scale like heavy metal. They're writing in like Blitzkrieg Bop is the major scale. It's like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like that's essentially A major.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just feel like I don't really have enough authority to, you know.
What are some edge case bands? Edge case bands in terms of the punk genre that you would call punk,
yeah,
but that are not. I mean, it's easy to say Ramones or whatever, but I'm saying, for example, and people have varied opinions on this.
Does a Clash count as punk?
Does They Might Be Giants count as punk? Because sometimes some people to say They Might Be Giants are like super punk.
I'd say they. See, that's the thing. I'm not a cop. You know what I mean?
Like, why the fuck aren't you a cop?
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It takes like almost like it takes a certain like, well, this band isn't punk anymore. But then again, I don't consider Good Charlotte to be punk. I think they're a bunch of fucking...
What are they?
I just think they're like pop band. They're a pop band, which is fine.
I agree with you.
And I like some pop bands.
I agree with you.
You know, but it's like...
Are they pop punk? Or is that a different thing?
No, just pop. No, I agree with him. Like, it's pure pop.
It's just pop music.
It's just pop. It's but played with guitars that are distorted, but who cares?
Yeah, and I don't even necessarily like have anything against them. It's just that, like, again, it comes down to like maybe somebody would consider that punk. I would have to disagree with them.
Or punk-ish.
Right. Well, they have the punk style. You know what I mean? And they have like they're trying to get cool with they say all the punk influences that a punk band would say. They'd say, yeah, I like this band, that, you know, and they like they definitely like are aware of the punk ethos, but they're basically a pop band. And they're and that's fine. I mean,
what about Blink 182 pop band?
See, that's when it gets grayer, because it's like, I know bands that sound like Blink 182 that I think they started out as a punk band.
All right, let me go back a little further. Green Day.
See, then again, that's when it gets into like, I do, but like,
Dookie, the album Dookie.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what?
What is that?
See, now we're getting into like the...
Let's get into it.
Well, I guess you could make the argument. Some people would say it's not because it's so famous, right?
Yeah,
I mean, but like, in my mind, it's like Rancid. I love Rancid.
Right.
But
punk or no?
But that's the thing. I think they are, but
Anthrax.
That's metal.
That's metal, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, is it an edge case or is it 100% metal?
I mean, there's... Well, the
for
thing
Anthrax, metal. I mean, I agree musically. For me, with Anthrax, it's almost like lyrically it's starting to edge into like something a little different. You know what I'm saying?
Like you mean hybrid music. Like,
yeah.
Well, no. Anthrax, like those guys, and Guns N' Roses even, all those bands, and Metallica... and Megadeth, all those guys will mention like Sex Pistols, Ramones. They love those fucking bands, and they all understand.
But they're
that
not musical influence; they're more like philosophical. Spiritual
yeah, that's
influence.
What I that, that's what
like
I think Patrick's asking about the philosophical aspect. He's not
ideas.
Yeah, and then that's when it gets so hazy. Like, well, how do you define it? I think that like basically Good Charlotte are just a bunch of fucking pop stars.
Well, and you know? Do you know anything about the history of Good Charlotte? About like what put them? Were they just a band? Like the point being, like when you think of punk bands,
Waldorf.
When you think of punk, Waldorf, Maryland, for real?
Yeah, they're well. Tad lived with Benji. Benji lived with Tad. For
but they're not a constructed band, right? They like they came together organically. Like
they did. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like but like, see, then that's just my opinion. This
just
comes
like
into
Waldorf.
my bias of saying that like their whole thing is to be on. You know, like to get, you know, women and to, which is all fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I love Van Halen. I love AC/DC. I love, you know, the
Might
Beatles
well
did that. I like all that shit. But it's, I don't know. Like something about that to me isn't punk rock, but that's, I think it depends on the person. And I know that's a cop out, but I think it depends like on a certain level. Like punk depends on like,
I guess the question is can you like, can you declare yourself punk, or do you have to, or must it be bestowed upon you?
That depends on the person.
All right. Well, that's fair. But I'm just saying. I'm thinking like with Good Charlotte. I think is good, not to beat up on poor Good Charlotte.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Like they're a good example of like, hey, we're a punk band, and then other people like you're
Violent
like,
Femmes,
like,
punk
no.
or no?
You're like,
no.
I'd say they're punk, but that doesn't mean like the band. When I saw Avail play, I think it was Avail. It might have been Avail played, and the last song they played was Kiss Off by Violent Femmes, and the way they introduced it was like, this song's by a punk rock band, and he didn't say it with any irony at all. He was like, this is by my favorite punk band, Violent Femmes, and they went into a punk rock version of
Right,
because
they're...
Because
they're acoustic, and they're electric.
Right, yeah, and Avail was just like... Right. Fucking giving them props, saying this is by my favorite punk band.
Right, but you're saying an acoustic band could be a punk band.
Why not?
Because Violent Femmes.
Why not?
They're acoustic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you could do it. I mean, acoustic.
I don't see why not.
No.
I don't know, man. Like, I haven't thought about this stuff in a while either. I'm all atrophied. I have musical atrophy and brain atrophy. What are you pointing at?
Duder.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love these things.
I know, me too.
I have one of these somewhere.
Those are awesome. You gotta clip it right on the.
Where do you?
There's a sweet spot.
Like right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Click
but
that
like
tuner.
The other way around, so you can see it.
Oh,
clip put that tuner right on.
It's a little tricky.
Yeah, put that clip.
But those rock
dick.
Like hardcore because they're so convenient and they're so like lightweight. And...
Yeah, as long as you don't over rely on them. Remember what happened to Jesse.
Well, I mean,
that was like a one in a million kind of thing.
No.
That wasn't a snark. That was a different type of tuner.
Yeah, but it's the same concept.
Snarks are more like, well, it's the same shit, but those are like more to the point and they won't.
Is this in drop D tuning?
Yeah, whatever.
No, well, you mean the snark?
Flat out.
The snark is not
snark
manipulated.
Snark
has not been
It's a factory.
It has not been compromised. The snark has not been compromised.
No, not the snark. The guitar.
No compromise on the snark. The guitar, I don't know. But the snark is for real.
Our best friend was a homeless nude. He fucked me and I liked it too. My best friend was a homeless nude. My best friend was a homeless nude. My best friend was a nude. He was a motherfucking nude.
There you go. I dropped your pick.
Shit.
Where'd it go?
Another one?
Did it go in the couch?
I don't know where it went.
I mean, you're sitting on a towel.
I got picks, yo.
Fantastic. A towel. Oh, you have an extra pick? That would be awesome.
Well, this guy's
got
it.
I won't lose this one.
I wasn't even thinking about that pick.
I won't lose this. I will not lose this next pick.
Yeah.
The penis of destiny.
The pick of Sestiny.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't play. I never play, man.
I just practice.
You should play every day.
I know. Well, no, it's But can you relate to like having something that you just don't do for a while, but then get back into?
I'm not a loser. If something's worth doing, I do it every day. No, I know what you mean. I get into things. It's like with the video editing. The problem I have is if I know ahead of time that if I set my mind to do, if I'm like, I'm going to do this today.
Yeah.
Like I sort of become obsessive about it and I can't stop doing it. So
that might be part of it.
It can keep me from starting it in the first place because I just know once I start it. And so if I have like a something that I got to edit together, it's going to be like 20 minutes long and like all intricate. I know once I start, I'm just going to sit there for like 12 hours or 24 hours or however long it takes.
You know what it is? It's also, yeah, that's that.
So actually, I just don't do it for a while.
That's actually exactly what it is because like I will have it become, I have this might be a psychological issue where I'll maybe I'll just talk to my shrink about this, but it's like, I'll have it be so encompassing my life that's I'll have tunnel vision on on that one thing. So it's almost like if I don't play music, I'm going to have a life outside of music. You know what I mean? Because if I start playing music, I'm going to make it. This is my fucking mission. Nothing else matters. So it's about balance and all that, you know, but it, you know, like that may be part of the reason why I do kind of stop doing it. So it'd be good if I could find a way to incorporate it into my life that isn't completely obsessive or whatever.
No, I agree.
It's hard for me to do that. Like Mike, I don't know. Like it's hard for me to work and be in a band.
You're in neither right now.
But I think that's true. Yeah,
that's true.
I think that's the ultimate.
But if I were to focus 100% on the band,
being in a band is the reward. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Well, my thing is like if I were to focus 100% on the band, everything would fall by the wayside in my mind. Like I wouldn't give a fuck about finding an apartment. I wouldn't give a fuck about like anything other than playing in a band. And I'm almost 40.
All you have to do is just accept that you'll never succeed at the band, but you'll do it for the rest of your life.
See, that's the thing. It's like I know you and Jesse are really good at that, and I'm like really bad at that because I have. It might be almost like a mental problem where I know we're not going to like make it and we're not going to be like, you know, like a big,
like you're kind of thinking like, what's the point if we're not going to make it? It's like playing the lottery.
No, it's not even that. It's just a matter of like, if I'm not going all into it and putting all of every fiber of my being into it, I don't want to do it. And it's not about making it. Cause I know that's not going to happen. It's either I'm going to fucking do it or I'm not going to do
it. So you accept that's not going to happen.
Oh yeah. But that is, that is the
I mean,
classic.
But can you really accept that's not going to happen while you're playing a show? Can
absolutely.
You accept that while you're on stage?
Absolutely.
See, I can't accept that while I'm actually on stage.
No, I've already given that a get. That's a
given.
Yeah,
but you're talking about two different things.
You're
talking
about
two different things because you're talking about the acknowledgement that you're not going to make a living.
We could talk about that.
Band,
that's an interesting subject.
But that's separate. He's talking about the classic
error
of the phrase, do not let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Mm.
which is, in other words, you get into a psychological space, and this happens to all sorts of people, myself included, where you don't want to do it if you don't, if you're not confident, it's not going to be perfect. But that's not about being successful. That's about the actual thing being perfect.
That's absolutely
perfectly,
right.
You know, put together, constructed properly.
That's why it's weird for me to take these classes at Nova. Like, I signed up for just one class for the fall because I was like, I always in my mind had it like, I'm going to go for a fucking graduate degree or I'm not going to do it. And now I'm kind of not doing it. I'm just taking a couple classes. I'm enjoying it. And, you know, but that's the thing. That's, I guess it does permeate into other aspects of my life in that sense.
Well, that's where having the structure placed upon you, either from work or from, like, school is a good example, right? Where you might think, like, I'm like, oh, I like writing and thinking and analyzing, you know, things and putting my thoughts together. I'm not, the problem is like, am I going to do it, or am I more likely to do it if I have a teacher telling me you paid like fucking $8,000 for this class or whatever? And like,
well, that's true.
You know,
too.
Then you do it. And then when you're done, you're like, oh shit, I can do that.
I'm glad
and then
I did
like,
it, yeah.
If you do that enough in school, then you're like, oh, I can do this. That's the point of school.
1,000 at fucking BCU.
Well, I paid $800
and I quit early on one and I had to pay that 1,000.
You know what? I paid only 571 for a class at Nova.
Well, that's
Nova. Yeah, no,
like,
Nova's
that's why
good.
You get a good deal.
But it was 200 for the awesome book, deal. So it was like less than $800 for the book in the class.
Yeah,
which is fantastic. Nova, but I'm still, but for me, that's a lot of money.
I think
still.
Georgetown was like $10,000 a semester.
That's
or something.
Insane.
But that was like for three classes. I want to say
three.
No, but
three.
It's good for you. I mean, it's you know,
like one purpose of school. But as school's not the only thing. There's also other things that can accomplish the same thing. But the idea of like being pressured into doing something over and over again, especially doing stuff that you not maybe would not do otherwise, is it gets you into the mindset where you're like, oh, I can do this now. Now I know I can do this. So it removes one of those impediments.
Right. It forces you to do it.
Yeah. You're just like, I can do this. And so now you're like, you almost feel like obligated. You're like, I know I can do it, so I might as well do it.
Well, yeah. But that's also different. Like being in a band, I don't know if like, like, I don't know if it's the exact same thing. Cause like,
I mean, for the specific skill, the problem is school. There's, unless you went to school for music, it's not going to work for music. I'm just saying, as an example.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
If you want to get good at like writing stuff, get a creative writing degree, they're going to force you to write a bunch of stories. Most of them are going to be shit, but you'll go through the process. And then once you're done, if you do that enough, if you're forced to do it enough in the future, you're like, oh, I can just write a story. I know how to do that now.
Yeah.
I'm confident that I know how to do that.
And if you have a good idea, then you'll know, like, yeah, you'll be in a better shape to do it than somebody who hasn't studied it formally.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, with music, it's about practicing and stuff. But the problem is you can have people who practice all the time and they're still shit at music. They might just lack whatever it is. I mean, it's the whole Mozart Salieri thing. It's like, can you...
I actually heard some Salieri on the radio today.
Was it good? I've heard Salieri.
It was like
just talented.
It was alright. It was kind of like Mozart.
He's not untalented.
A little different.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's sort of like,
I mean, real
makes
life
sense because they're both from like the same place.
Yeah, he just wasn't like a genius.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazingly talented. He just
I mean, you see it in every creative field. Yeah. I mean, in movies more than anything, like. Even if you don't study film, you can tell the difference between a well-crafted movie and a decently crafted movie.
Right.
Like there's like a movie you'll see where like Big Lebowski or something where it's just you subconsciously acknowledge it's genius. Like there's subtle things.
Something there. Yeah.
I don't even know what they are necessarily. Like if you study film, you can learn some of that. But like you get that out of the product whether you are a student of that or not. Because there's that extra something. Then there's people who can do stuff well, and then there's people who just can't do shit at all.
It's like watching like an average, like, I'm trying to think of a director that does good, competent work versus like Pulp Fiction or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, well, there's a lot of directors you tend not to know their names because they're the ones who produce the movies where you're like, oh, that was entertaining, but it's not a movie you go back to. It's not
right.
A movie you are obsessively tell your friends they have to see it and it'll blow their minds.
Hey, check this out, yo.
Yeah.
What you got?
So I bought this tape player, right?
It's like a Walkman.
So I bought this tape player. It's a Walkman. And
you have two hands.
Suck my dick. Suck my dick.
And
suck my dick. That's my new song.
I like it.
So check it out, right? So I bought this tape player on Saturday.
Yeah. Tape player.
And I started using it.
Today is Friday.
That's right. And today, I mean, I'm sorry, on Monday,
mm-hmm.
I started to actually use it.
Use that shit.
This was you. Because
why did you wait 2 days to use it?
Because my CD. Because my CD. I'm like a prop. I'm like a prop comic.
This was used, man.
He's like Gallagher.
Dude, I'm ready to go, dude.
He's like Carrot Top.
Hold on. Because my CD player.
Mike's lap is filled with all sorts of gadgets from the 80s.
This is getting out.
I'm rocking. Because my.
His dick is from the 80s, too.
MacGyver. Mine's from the late 70s.
I know.
Yeah.
Fucking old man.
I know. Old man penis. Jesse's is even older than mine.
Yeah.
Jesse's.
Withered old penis.
Yeah.
Chicks are into that, though.
Well, it comes back around. I think when you get your point where you're like too old for chicks, but then when you get even a little bit older, like he's so old that it makes me horny again.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I got to get through.
That's crazy.
I don't understand women. Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Women don't either.
These ladies, these broads, with their voting and their working.
It's unbelievable what's happening these days. It's unfucking believable.
Oh.
What you got, Mike?
Can you push this just a little?
This thing? Yeah, there you go.
There
he I wants go. His guitar.
Here
case.
I go. Here I go.
Here I go, yo.
Here I go.
Here I go, yo.
So, as I was saying. My CD player started to go warple on me.
Warple?
And I just bought this CD player.
Oh, shit.
And it started to go warple on me.
Mike's fucked up on drugs right now.
Are you on drugs?
And are alcohol. You on drugs, son?
Listen, Sonny.
Sonny, you need
those
to stop
drugs,
this.
They'll get you nowhere. They're going to arrest your life.
So I had this CD. I have this CD player.
CD's nuts.
No, look in here. Right? See?
Yes, we're looking in your lap. You have a CD player.
So here's a CD player.
You've taken the cover
This
off.
Is a compact disc player. Jensen brand from Target. $23.99.
Jesus, that's
You bought
way
that at
much.
Target?
Yep. So.
Why is the top off of it?
Well,
it
I'll
off?
Get to that anyways. That's a side story.
Oh, that's
anyways,
part of the story.
Here we go.
Bam. That's going to be the fucking climax. I
no,
apologize.
Man, this is getting good.
Hold on.
So you bought this CD player at Target for $23.
Okay, Mike is plugging in the CD player.
It's like a CD Walkman? Is that what this is?
Okay, it appears to have some sort of speakers
attached
to it. Oh,
it has a speaker attached to it.
Little clamshell speakers.
So let's hear what it...
He's playing...
Ramones.
Ramones.
He's playing...
out of the speakers.
When I'm lying in my bed at night.
This is my CD player.
That's... Yeah, okay. That's awesome.
Sounds pretty good. Well, I love this song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It's Adios Amigos.
So, like, okay, how does this explain your tape player, though?
I'm actually kind of stuck on a tangent right now.
I mean, is it like, are you
like
permanent?
Tarantino.
Are you permanently stuck on this tangent?
Tarantino gets stuck on tangent.
Are we never getting out of here? Is this
I
a one-way tangent?
Grow up.
No, I'm trying to actually be a prop master, comedian dude, and have the prop tell the story for me.
Okay.
Mike's lunch.
So eventually this CD player.
Yeah. The one that you're playing, like the props that nobody can see.
He's got this little mini white speaker and he's playing
a... It's a clamshell speaker. It's spherical in shape. It opens up to reveal two stereo speakers,
and
which
Mike...
are connected to a disc man.
It sounds good. So, well, you know.
So far, this deceptive CD player by Jensen.
Yes.
Target for $23.99.
$23.99.
It's playing just fine. That's because I'm not moving around. If I move around and stuff, the CD player will start doing weird shit.
Can you demonstrate? Can you wiggle?
Anyway.
Can you wiggle?
I think it's because I dropped it. I'm just enjoying this music too much.
I think I agree. I think it's probably because you dropped it.
So I dropped it at one point, and then after that I dropped it, it started to... do this weird... It'll do it in a second. It's going to do this weird shit.
Hey, Mike, are you playing the whole album?
I don't know what's going on.
This is one of my most.
Trying to storytell.
This is one of my favorite albums of all time. If you are,
I'm trying to storytell.
I'm sorry.
While having this in the background, like a Scorsese thing.
It's just I mean, I wish the audience at home could see the I'm seeing, because it is identical to a Scorsese film.
You have to take a picture at least.
You got to take a picture and put it online.
Well, let me put this bowl down. Put the bowl behind my head. I mean, the bowl of Cheerios to the bone. Bowl of Cheerios.
Fall in love, get married, and move. How the hell do you think it's all soon? Don't want you to. I remember when I first heard this song on the radio with James Verdier, and we bought this album, and this album, like, fucking influenced Rodin like a motherfucker. This album, like, changed everything.
Yeah, so nothing weird has happened yet. Can you, like, wiggle around? You said that you have to move.
This, I'm being disappointed, and my tangent is taking too long because the prop I'm using is not performing the way it's supposed to.
But why don't you wiggle? You said you have to move around. If you wiggle around, it might do what you say it's going to do.
Well, both the bad and the good thing about this is that my CD player is actually performing very well, even though I replaced it with this tape player.
Yeah.
Is this a CD or a tape we're listening to?
This is a CD.
Okay. CD's nuts. Yeah. So, like, the thing is, a couple points. First of all, whatever you're trying to show us is clearly not working, because now you're just playing music.
Neither is working. It's supposed to not be working.
Well, it's working. The other thing is so your CD player stopped working, so you got a tape player, so you're regressing.
Okay, here we go.
You should get it.
So anyway.
Well, what's it doing?
It's actually performing very well.
Yeah, but didn't you say you have to wiggle it up and down? Why don't you wiggle it? Why don't you kind of, like, wiggle it? Nah. Mike is wiggling it.
It's being deceptive because, like,
what if you hit it really hard?
Well,
hit it as hard as you can.
The thing is when I get to, like, what I usually use this for is, like, walking around, which is how I get around. And I need to have, like, entertainment, audio entertainment. And, like, this is a perfect album for walking around.
Oh, this album is amazing.
Getting to the metro. It'll take you about the length of this album to get to the metro.
It's a 30-minute album, yeah.
So that's how long it takes me to walk to the metro. So it's perfect, right? Get there and just start right again when I get down in the metro. Then I start it again when I get to the surface.
You listen to this album a lot?
I'll listen to this album like 3 times in a row.
This album is one of my favorite albums of all. It's in the top.
When it gets to the end, it stops. I'll just play again.
And this is like the Ramones album of This is the Ramones' last album in 1995. And to me, it's my favorite, probably my favorite Ramones album ever. Because this is the album that got me into the Ramones. But everybody, you know, always thinks of the Ramones as, like, you know, Rocket to Russia, Road to Ruin. Those are all amazing albums, genius. But this is the album that got me into the Ramones.
Because the production's awesome.
It is. Just everything about
it's
awesome.
It's the one dude that can really produce them the best.
It's got, maybe. Yeah, it
that
all.
That guy, Daniel Ray or whatever?
Yeah, Daniel Ray. Yeah, Daniel Ray, and
he somehow was able to, like, do it the best.
And Didi Ramone wasn't in the band, but he wrote, like, 7 of the songs on this album.
Like, previously, or, like...
No. Well, he had written them, and
like,
he...
just, like, scattered previously, scattered?
One of them was on the Didi King album.
Okay.
A few of them were scattered on his first or second solo album, and a few he
sort
just... And a few, they said, Didi...
He ripped them up?
Yeah. Yeah, like, Take the Pain Away.
I believe it.
That's a song Didi wrote for this album. So it's like, apparently, I don't know if this is true, but like, apparently the Ramones, like, bailed Didi Ramone out of jail. And they got him out, but they said, you have to give us some songs that you wrote. And that's like the ultimate compliment.
Tangentialation.
Yeah.
Tangentialations of tangentialations.
Tangentialations. That's some crazy shit tonight.
Anyway. It doesn't work. I mean, it does work. It's good. That's still good. I'm super impressed.
But that's why you got the tape player.
But that's why I bought the tape player, which only costs $15 and also has a radio, which is really cool. And that's why I listened to the Salieri was with 90.1, 90.9.
90.9. 90.9. 90.9.
So the funny thing is I also dropped this tape on. Because I like to break shit.
Does it still work?
But it works, but it's all this is fucked up. Yeah. That's actually, I don't know, it's behaving itself.